In Colossians chapter 3 this morning, Colossians chapter 3, our theme for the book of Colossians is transformed by Jesus to live like Jesus. In his triumph over Satan and sin that we have looked at for the last two Sundays in Colossians chapter 2, Jesus made it possible for people like you and me to be transformed. Transformed from a life of sin to a life of holiness. A holiness not our own, but a holiness found in Jesus. To be transformed from a life that is separated from God to a life with God. To be transformed from a life under the judgment of God to a life free from judgment and full of blessing. The subtitle of our series is To Live Like Jesus. We have been transformed so that we can live a different life. Not a perfect life. That's going to come later. John says, when we see him, we will be like him. But we have been transformed so that daily we can live a life like Jesus. So that we will become more and more and more like Jesus. Can I ask you a simple question? Are you more like Jesus today than you were last month at this time? Are you more like Jesus today than you were last year as we started the month of December? In the book of 2 Corinthians, the Apostle Paul, referring back to when Moses had to veil his face before he went out to the tabernacle to meet with God, Paul writes, but we, with unveiled faces, we don't have to veil our face to meet with God. We, with unveiled faces, beholding as in a mirror the glory of the Lord, are being transformed into the same image from glory to glory, just as by the Spirit of the Lord. As you and I continually look at the glory of the Lord, we are being transformed into his image. When you think of a life that is transformed by God, don't make the mistake of thinking that it has nothing to do with you. That all you have to do is sit back and let God change you. That's not how the Christian life works. Yes, it is God in his grace who changes us, but you have a part in that process. An old theologian from the last century referred to the partnership of God and man. You see, God has his part in our transformation, but we also have a part which can only be accomplished by the grace and through the power of God. He referred to it as the divine-human cooperative. We are to cooperate with what God is doing in our lives. That's part of this transformation that the apostle is now going to talk about in chapter 3 of the book of Colossians. Now, from verse 1 of chapter 3 through verse 17 of chapter 3, he is going to talk about the focus of the transformed life. If we are going to experience the transforming power of God in our lives, we are going to have to begin to live like Jesus. That is going to be our focus. I don't know what your focus in life is. So many people have different focus. Maybe your focus is on your job and how much money you can make, or your focus is on your future and what you're going to become, or your focus is on your family, or God forbid, your focus is on your sports team. We have all kinds of different focuses in life, but for the Christian, listen, your focus is to be on Jesus. That and that alone. If your focus is on anything else, you're missing the boat here of the Christian life. Now, when you talk about having the right focus in life, there are generally two things involved. There is the focus on what you should not do, and then there's a focus on what you should do. Now, it's difficult to do the right things in life if you're focusing on the wrong things in life. That just makes sense. It's difficult to focus on the right things in life, the things you ought to be doing, the thing God wants you to do, if you are focused on the wrong things in life. So the Apostle Paul is going to begin in the passage, the section we're going to look at this morning, verses 1 through 11, by primarily, not totally, but primarily focusing on the wrong things. Then he's going to tell us, and we'll look at this next Sunday, what we ought to be focusing on, beginning in verse 12 and going through verse 17. So we're going to follow Paul's pattern here, and we're going to begin by focusing on the wrong things. Let's read the text together in Colossians chapter 3 and verse 1. The Apostle Paul writes, "Then you were raised, if then you were raised with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ is sitting at the right hand of God. Set your mind on things above, not on things on the earth, for you died and your life is hidden with Christ in God. When Christ, who is our life, appears, then you also will appear with him in glory. Therefore, put to death your members which are on the earth: fornication, uncleanness, passion, evil desire, and covetousness, which is idolatry. Because of these things, the wrath of God is coming upon the sons of disobedience, in which you yourself once walked when you lived in them. But now you yourselves are to put off all these: anger, wrath, malice, blasphemy, filthy language out of your mouth. Do not lie to one another, since you have put off the old man with his deeds and have put on the new man, who is renewed in knowledge according to the image of him who created him. For there is neither Greek nor Jew, circumcised nor uncircumcised, barbarian, Scythian, slave nor free, but Christ is all and in all." The Apostle Paul begins this section with a very important statement. He says, "If then you were raised with Christ." Some of the other translations in our English Bible, such as the NIV, say, "Since you were raised with Christ." And that's a more accurate translation. This is what translators call a statement of fact. You have been raised with Christ. There's no doubt about that. As a Christian, you were raised with Christ. When a person comes to Christ and repents of their sin, then they come into union with Christ. And spiritually, we enter into his death and we enter into his resurrection. It's not a matter of question, it's a matter of fact. Since then, this is true. This has happened in your life. Now, because you and I have been raised with Christ, there are some things that we are to do. And the first thing that Paul tells us that we are to do is to seek the heavenly. He says in verse 1, "Since you were raised with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ is sitting at the right hand of God." Paul says you and I as Christians are to seek the things that are above. And so just so we don't miss what he's saying, he says where Christ is sitting at the right hand of God. We're not to seek the things of the earth. There's a contrast here, even though he doesn't state it. We're to seek the things that are above. Our lives are to be guided by things that are compatible with heaven. J.B. Phillips, that old British translator of the Bible, put it this way: reach out for the highest gifts of heaven. Seek those things that are above. As a Christian, your life is to be in greater harmony with heaven than it is with earth. Our lives, as one theologian wrote, are to be dominated by the pattern of heaven. Now, the idea of seeking implies that you have a desire for it. In fact, it's even stronger than that. You have a craving for it. So you're going to go after it with some intensity. When was the last time you went after the things of God with intensity? When was the last time you literally craved the things of God? And then Paul says in verse 2, set your mind on things above, not on things on the earth. That phrase, set your mind on something, is a phrase we don't often use. We're familiar with it, but it doesn't really work its way into our conversation very often. But you might have heard someone say, he has set his mind on becoming a lawyer. Or he has set his mind on becoming a doctor. Or she has set her mind on becoming an accountant. That is, he or she was determined to do that, to obtain that, to become that. As Christians, we are to set our minds on the things of heaven, not on the things of the earth. We are to have a certain determination to put Christ first, to put the things of Christ as our first priority in life. Now, why are we to seek the things above? Why are we to set our mind on things above? Well, the answer is in verses 3 and 4. Paul says, because you died and your life is hidden with Christ in God. When Christ, verse 4, when Christ, who is our life, appears, then you also will appear with him in glory. Now, Paul's logic here is that in salvation, we died. We died to our old life. We died to the old way of living. We died to the old way of thinking. Now, he says, our lives are wrapped up in Jesus. Your life cannot be distinguished from his life. We are in God. You see, your life as a Christian is to be so wrapped up in Jesus that when people look at you, they see him. And someday, he says, when Jesus comes, then this life and that life will all come together and we will be with him in glory. In glory, we know that everything will be about heaven. We will be perfectly seeking the things above. Our minds will be completely set on the things of God. But Paul's point here is, don't wait for heaven. Those things should be true of us in the present because we have been given a new life. The Apostle Paul wrote in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, old things have passed away. Everything, including our life, has become new. We are set our things on the heavenly. And then Paul tells us next that we are to put to death the sin. Look at verse 5. Therefore, put to death your members which are on the earth, fornication, uncleanness, passion, evil desire, and covetousness, which is idolatry. Because of these things, the wrath of God is coming upon the sons of disobedience, in which you yourself once walked when you lived in them. Based on what he said in verses 1 through 3, Paul says there are certain things that are not appropriate for believers. In fact, he says we are to put them to death. It's interesting the language he uses here. He says, slay your members which are on the earth. Now, there are several different ways you can understand that. But when the Apostle Paul, for example, back in the book of Romans, chapter 6 and 7, talks about our members, he talks about our hands and our feet and our eyes and our mouth. So when he says, slay your members, he lists all of these rather unsavory things, fornication, uncleanness, passion, evil desire, covetousness, which he says is idolatry. He's saying when you slay your members, you're slaying them in the ways that they acted in the old life. You're put to death how your members used to operate. Fornication, sexual immorality, uncleanness, impurity, passion, lust, evil desire. That's just what it is, evil desire. Covetous, which he identifies as greed. We're to slay them. We are to put them to death in our lives. Now, when you put something to death, you take away its ability to have an influence on you. You are depriving it of not only influence, but any dominance in your life. Now, it's difficult. In fact, it's impossible to totally put to death every sinful thing in our lives. That's a battle that we go through all of the time. It's not easy to seek the things of God and to set our affections on the things of heaven. And it's impossible if we still love this earth. So Paul says, put them to death. Make an intentional effort to slay the sin that is in your life. You can't have your focus on the things of God in heaven if your focus is on the things of sin and this earth. Now, verses 6 and 7 really should get our attention. Because of these things, the things he just listed, fornication, all the rest, because of these things, the sons of disobedience, or because of these things, the wrath of God is coming upon the sons of disobedience, in which you yourself once walked when you lived in them. Now, here's why you need to put sin to death in your life. You need to put sin to death in your life because God opposes sin. He talks about the sons of disobedience. Those are the ones who disobey God. Those are the ones who are contrary to God. And they are going to feel the wrath of God because of their sin. Now, you and I used to belong to that group. These were our people. We deserve death. But Paul says we've been raised with Christ. So we shouldn't go on living like spiritually dead people. And then Paul says that we are to put to death the sin. Verse 8. But now you yourselves are to put off all of these. Anger, wrath, malice, blasphemy, filthy language out of your mouth. Do not lie to one another, since you have put off the old man with his deeds. We are to put off the old.